Silver College, which now is merged with OU.
Merged with the OU.
Merged with the OU, which is an adult education center. Rabbi Gold's thousands of shiurim is given throughout the world, and now on the internet, now its own website, RabbiSholomGold.com. And even my father to this day remembers the fiery and passionate speeches Rabbi Gold gave, maybe what, 40 years ago?
40 years.
A little over 40 years ago, my father still remembers very fondly the amazing speeches. As he told me the other day, I told him Rabbi Gold was coming to speak on Yom Zikaron to get us ready prepared for Yom Ha'atzmaut. So Rabbi Gold, my father said, you know what? I've never heard anyone give speeches like Rabbi Gold, right? It's a true compliment because every time I hear Rabbi Gold, I'm always coming out very, very inspired. And even though Rabbi Gold has other reasons to come to Rabbi Chevish because he has children here, but Baruch Hashem, this time he just came just for us. So, without further ado, let me put this for you.
Good, thank you.
Harav Gold Shlita.
You can record it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let the poor kids who are not here get it. Okay. The last 70 years of Jewish history have been the most amazing years in the history of any people on the face of this earth. From the beginning of creation till now, there has never been a period of such drama, from tragedy to triumph, from extermination to building a nation, from pain to pride, from near total extinction to becoming one of the great powers on the face of this earth. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. This has got to be God working overtime. Whatever you do, if you have a chance to read, to study, to watch movies about the history of the last 70 years, Jewish history of the last 70 years, I think that it may be even greater than any Musa Sefer you're ever going to learn. To put it another way, legend has it that King Louis XV asked the great philosopher and mathematician Pascal, "Prove to me that there are miracles in this world." And Pascal is supposed to have looked at him and told him, "The Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews, that we're around 4,000 years after our beginnings in the days of Avraham Avinu is nothing short of the greatest miracle of all." It's unbelievable. We should have, according to the laws of history, we certainly should have disappeared a long, long time ago. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, in his Siddur, has an introduction in which he writes, "I swear to God, the survival of the Jewish people is a far greater miracle than all the miracles that took place by the Exodus from Egypt. Greater than the Esser Makos, greater than Kriyas Yamsuf. The fact that we're around, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable." And you know, whatever has happened during the course of the last 2,000 years, always somebody there lurking in the background wanting to get us. Oh, they're working overtime. They're working overtime today. They're working overtime. Iran has said it so often, they are going to wipe Israel off the map. But you know what? What do we say on the night of Pesach? V'chol dar v'dar. And every generation owned them aleinu lechalotenu, they arise against us to destroy us. V'akodesh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam, the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hands. There's no question about it. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what's going to happen to Iran. The Rebbeinu Shalom is going to pull something out of his hat that is going to shake the world from one end to the other. But by the way, there's something else that's a... 70 years ago, Jews begged the United States and Great Britain to bomb the rail lines to Auschwitz. We begged. Didn't do it. Take a look at the reversal of roles. Fast forward 70 years later, the whole world has one concern. What is the Israeli Air Force going to do to Iran? Can you imagine the awesome difference? A world is concerned, worried, even frightened and terrified of what Israel might do. And 70 years ago, we couldn't get one American bomber to bomb the rail line stations. You know what the Rebbeinu Shalom has done over here? He's taken a people that one could say, quite literally, that the curtain was coming down on Jewish history. Jewish history had come to an end. It was all over. And just for the whole world thing that it's all over, all of a sudden the state of Israel, 3 years after the Holocaust, a state of Israel comes into being. This can only be the Rebbeinu Shalom, God Almighty. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And we're zecher to be the beneficiaries of all of this. Now, you've got a serious problem, and you've also got great strengths. Your problem is, shucks, you're young. I remember old sage, well, look at, you know, real old sage. I remember 70 years ago. I remember the day on which the State of Israel was established. I was born and I lived in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Who never heard of Williamsburg? Williamsburg, you heard of Williamsburg? All right, I was born in Williamsburg. And, all right, you know, I'm just going to be open. I'm going to let everything hang out. It was 2 weeks before my bar mitzvah. Go ahead, what year was it? Well, actually, you don't know what year it is. You can't figure anything out. 1948. The establishment of the State of Israel took place on a Friday, the 5th of Iyar, 1948. Get that date into your heads. By the way, if we're celebrating tomorrow, tonight, 64 years, you know, just go do the math, you could have figured out already that it was 1948. It was 2 weeks before my bar mitzvah. I remember coming into shul for mincha that Erev Shabbos. It was Yeshiva Torah V'Das on Wilson Street. Sometime in the middle of mincha, by the way, this was a big shul. There must have been 400 or 500 people davening there. And there were a lot of people with numbers on their arms. You know what the number on the arm signifies? Those who had come out of the concentration camps. And just in the middle of mincha, somebody comes running in, shouting out in shul, "President Truman just recognized the State of Israel." It was awesome. You could hear the gasp from a whole shul, and all of a sudden, when I had just seen 500 frightened people, there were 500 giants standing up with proud. They couldn't believe what had happened. I just heard from a student of mine this week that his grandmother was on one of the rickety, unseaworthy boats someplace in the Mediterranean. Jews were clawing their way to Eretz Israel. After the Second World War, There were 500,000 to 750,000 Jews who remained in the same concentration camps because there was no place for them to go. No country wanted to take them in. Who in heaven's name wanted the Jews? Or was it that the British, in the middle of the war, there was some kind of a possibility of a deal for 1 million Jews? Lord Moyne said, 1 million Jews? What would I do with them? Canada, great Canada, one of their great leaders in the Second World War, that was asked to take in 20,000 Jewish children. You know, Canada is very small. There's very little place for anything. You can put another 10 billion people in Canada. And the ugly statement was, none is too much. No Jews, no place to go. No place to go. Nobody's going to take them in. And here, one of the rickety boats that making its way from someplace through the Mediterranean, they had to make their way through the great British Navy, His Majesty's forces, were out there, out in the Mediterranean, to make sure that no Jew is going to make it to Eretz Israel. And they had to get into port for repairs. So they stopped at some port in the Mediterranean, and they needed to pick up some water and hope that the boat is going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. And if it makes it, will they make their way through the British blockade? Our great friends, the British. And a number of police officers of that country got onto the boat and they said, You need to fly a flag of a state. You can't leave this port without a flag. So they said, but we don't have a state. So the police officer said, you're wrong. They just established a state in Tel Aviv. You've got a state. Can you imagine the cry of joy that went up from thousands of bedraggled, thirsty, hungry Jews trying to make their way to Eretz Israel? By the way, it continues. What was it? 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, there was a young man, 20, 21 years old, in Kiev, Russia. After the Seder, he was beaten to within an inch of his life, went into a coma. Russian boy with a kippah, walking out of the streets in Kiev, hanging on to dear life. You know what happened? A special plane was sent. They picked him up, took him out of that, flung in a hospital in Kiev, and they flew him to Eretz Yisrael. I just saw the papers today. He's recovered consciousness. Was there any place in the world where you could have taken a Jew for the last 2,000 years? This is the place. It's an awesome miracle. It's a miracle unmatched and unparalleled in all of history. I always like to quote one of the great historians of the previous generation was a fellow by the name of Arnold Toynbee. He wrote 14 volumes, The History of the World. And it's fascinating work. He describes the growth, the development of 21 civilizations from the time of creation. And he traces them. They all have the same story. Each civilization struggles, becomes stronger, fights with its neighbors, becomes powerful, strong, rises to the peak of power, and then inexorably, you know what happens to them? The deterioration, the decline, disintegration, disappearance. 21 civilizations disappeared from the face of this earth. So you had a problem. But what about the Jews? What about the Jews? They're still around. They should have disappeared 1,000 years ago. So this brilliant anti-Semitic genius came up with a great idea. Every civilization leaves in its wake fossils, you know, bones, shards, pottery, arrows. So you see Jews walking around. These are the fossils of a previous civilization. All right? And then, of course, the unbelievable happens. State of Israel is established. No fossil ever created a state in all of history. So this poor Toynbee is of Gahakta Tzuras. But you don't know a word of Yiddish, so it's all a waste on you anyway. Anyway, he's in trouble. So now he could have been honest. Could have been honest and could have said that, listen, you know, every rule has an exception to the rule. 21 civilizations, in fact, did exactly what Toynbee said they did. And then there's one that was different. One that seems to survive, though according to the rules of the historic game, they shouldn't survive. Because they survive because they're a divine people and they have God on their side. He couldn't say that. The whole world was shocked by the establishment of the State of Israel. The Christian world, Catholics especially, shattered. They had created a whole theology based on the idea that because Jews had rejected their God, therefore they were doomed to wander the face of this earth forever into eternity. And all of a sudden, no, they're not wandering, they're coming back home. After an absence of 1,872 years, something like that, here it is, they're reestablishing themselves in Eretz Yisrael. This was a blow to Christian theology. But if Christians were honest, they should have known, as Eliezer Berkowitz wrote, that Christianity died in Auschwitz. The attempted extermination of the Jewish people was the final bankruptcy of all Christianity. If that's what it led to, they're out of the game. We are part of a miracle. I'll tell you. If I was honest already about 1948, let me tell you a little more about 1948. 2 weeks after the establishment of the state was my bar mitzvah. My birthday is coming up soon, in the month of Iyar, okay? And about 2-3 weeks after my bar mitzvah was my elementary school graduation from Torah V'Das. At the graduation, they had what was called a declamation contest. You know what a declamation contest? Some of the outstanding students were chosen to stand up and say poetry. And it was a contest. And there were judges. Of course, I was obviously one of the outstanding students, so I was chosen. I'll tell you a little bit about the poem that I recited. The poem that I recited was entitled, Israel, My People, God's Eternal Riddle. Did I get up there? Egypt enslaved thee, Babylon crushed thee, Rome led thee captive, homeless thy head. Nations keep coming, nations keep going, passing like shadows, wiped off the earth. Thou an eternal witness remainest, bearing the message, God is but one. Where are those nations, mighty and fearsome? Thou hast survived them, they are all dead. I can keep going. That was one of my great moments. And of all things, I injured my hand 2 days before the graduation, and you know I was going to make all sorts of using my right hand, and my mother said, no, you can't use your right hand, the whole place will see your hand bandaged. So I had to try and figure out how to say, you know, nations keep coming, nations keep going, passing like shadows. Like, prithee, who taught thee never to die? Who taught thee never to die? I messed it all up. Nations keep coming. Nations keep going. There went up this end. I couldn't do it. We are an eternal people. Israel, my people, God's greatest riddle. Will thy solution ever be told? It's unbelievable what has taken place over here. And it's a very big schus to be able to see it, to appreciate it. It's a tremendous schus to be able to get up before the Rebbeinu Shalom and say, in the fullness of our neshamas, Zeh Hayom, also Hashem, this is the day that God has made. Nagila v'nismucha bo, we're going to be full of joy of that day. This is no day to walk around with one's nose in the ground. I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like Canaan. You have to have a view of Jewish history, and in that view, this is one of the greatest miracles of all history. That's what we are. We are the great miracle over there. And it's been going on now, not only 70 years, we're talking about, well over 100-120 years, the Jews started coming back to Eretz Yisrael. You know what you need? You need to take a look at a before and an after. The Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, arrived in Eretz Yisrael in 1267. And he went to Yerushalayim. How many Jews were living in Yerushalayim in 1267? Anyone want to take a guess? They're so smart. You are so smart. But anything you would have said would have been wrong. There were two Jews in the city. And the two Jews in the city only had temporary residence here because they were people who were in the business of dying, you know, D-Y-E, the business of dead dying, we've been doing already for 2,000 years. But they needed dyers in the city, so they permitted two Jews who knew. Two Jews in the city when the Ramban arrives in 1267. 1488, Reb Ovadia Mibar Tanura arrives in Yerushalayim. And by the way, it's in Yerushalayim that he's going to finish his monumental commentary on the Mishnah from the city of Bar Tanura. It's not a wine. It's a city in Italy, you understand. Rabbi Vagimi Bar Tanura, by the way, he is buried. He's buried at the foothills of Har HaZeitim. And here there are thousands of people who go to his kever on his yard site. I think it's sometime around Shavuos, if I'm not mistaken. He arrives in 1488, and there are a grand total of 200 Jews in Yerushalayim. In 1700, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid arrives in Yerushalayim. 5,000 Jews in Yerushalayim. I'm not going to take you through all of the years. Gold, I arrive in 1955 to studying in Yeshiva. I consider myself one of those. There were a handful of us who set the stage for the thousands of students that come here to learn every year. When I came in 1955, there were a few yeshivas, a handful of yeshivas. What's called the yeshiva world never existed. Nothing existed at the time. There was Chevron, there was Panovich, there was Mir. And a smattering of more. And I remember my Rosh Yeshiva told me he's afraid that if I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn, then, you know, I might start a trend. And that's not going to be too good. So I said, what, me start a trend? Sure did. 55 years later, thousands of young men and women coming to learn in Eretz Yisrael. When I was there in Yerushalayim, I counted 16 yeshiva bachurim who had come from Chutz Laretz. Most of them were from England, and there were 4 or 5 from the United States. The sum total of yeshiva bachurim were 400, 500, 600. Awesome what's happened in this secular, rotten, state of Israel, the greatest explosion of Torah growth in all of Jewish history. It's unbelievable, unbelievable. How many Jews are living in Jerusalem today? All right, come on. Can't let them go home until they know basic facts. There are just slightly under 500,000 Jews living in Jerusalem, from 2 in 1267. You know who my favorite rabbi is? Rabbi Akiva. You know the famous Gemara? Oh, I love this when I start talking to Yeshiva Bachman about this Gemara. Like, they remember the Gemara, they even say it over, but they don't relate it to reality. It's unbelievable. The very end of Masechta Makos. Now you should listen to this, you know why? Because you'll end up at who knows how many bar mitzvahs at which the bar mitzvah boy is going to complete Masechta Makot. At the end of Masechta Makot, the story is told about 4 or 5 Chachmei Yisrael who are walking with Rabbi Akiva, and they're on Haratzofim, on this side. And they look down over here. And you know what they see? They see a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies. And the rabbis begin to cry. And Rabbi Akiva smiles. So, of course, the famous conversation. Why are you smiling, Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva says, why are you crying? So they say, what do you mean? Why shouldn't we cry? The place where only the Kohen Gadol was permitted and the Kippur into the Holy of Holies, and now there are foxes there? And Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, says, that's exactly why I'm smiling. Because if the prophecy of destruction was fulfilled so precisely, then I believe the Emuna Shlema, that the prophecy of reconstruction will also be fulfilled. And he quoted for them the awesome psukim in the 8th chapter of Sefer Zechariah. Oh, Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenos, the elderly men and women are going to sit in Yerushalayim, Ish Vishantomi Adomi Rov Yamim, a man holding his cane because he's so old. And Yeladim v'Yeladot Misachakim v'Rechovotah, they're going to be children who are going to play in the streets of Jerusalem. That's what Rabbi Akiva was able to see when the smoke was still smoldering from the Beit HaMikdash. A few years ago, I was living for a number of years up in the Galil. And you can see already in the papers, I don't know, you never read the papers, it's all right, forget it. But they're getting ready for Lag BaOmer. I don't know, in Hanov, it's already been for the last 2 weeks, every little piece of wood or piece of paper is cleaned off the streets, and these kids, they stake out their area like, this is my turf, and they start piling up all the stuff for this great bonfire that they're going to make on Lag BaOmer. And 400,000 Jews will go to Miron, to the Kever of Shimon ben Yochai. I tell you, you don't tell the truth, you know, I'm not in Har Nof now, so I can say whatever is on my mind. I feel so terrible for these kids. They don't have a clue about a Yom HaTzmaut. They don't have a clue what's going on over here. But they know that they have to get all the wood together for Lag BaOmer. Anyway, I was living up in the Galil for 2.5 years, and came the Lag BaOmer time. The whole world went to Miron, to the Kever of Shimon Yochai. I told my wife, no, we're not going to Miron. Let the rest of the world go to Miron. We're going to Tveria. And there on the top of the hill in Tveria is the Kever of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is buried up there. And Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato, who wrote in the Sirat Yeshurun, the classic text of Musa, is right next to him. And I came, till I found my way through the streets of Tveria, I got lost. I would have had a GPS. But I didn't have a GPS. So I made my way, finally I get there, I come to the Kever of Rabbi Akiva, and here it is, Hashgacha Pratis Min HaShemayim, the Rebbe Shem is with me. Right near the Kever there's a Tanakh. I didn't say any Tehillim by the Kever of Rabbi Akiva. I took out a Tanakh and I opened it to the 8th chapter in Sefer Zechariah. And I read the whole chapter as I stood there by Rabbi Akiva's Kever. Oh, the Yeshua Zekenim was a Kenis. I said a number of times, I'll be speaking later this month about walking through Yerushalayim with Rabbi Akiva. I want to be the one who takes him through Yerushalayim. I can imagine that the Akiva is going to say, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? Where's the 10th Roman Legion? Rabbi Akiva? There ain't no 10th Roman Legion. Rabbi Akiva? There's no room. So who's in charge over here? I thought, the Jews are in charge. There's a Yiddish in Medina? You're kidding me? No, you can't be. Rabbi Akiva, trust me, there's a Jewish state here. And he's going to say, Hodu Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdei. Anyway, meanwhile, I'm standing at the caver of Rabbi Akiva, and I read that chapter to him. And you know what I told him? These are exactly the words that I told him. If I'd have a can of spray paint, I would run through this whole country, and I would spray paint the walls saying, Rabbi Akiva Tzadak. Rabbi Akiva Tzadak. Rabbi Akiva, you were right. You were right. You saw clearly what was going to be. And here it is. I was talking last Friday to five yeshiva rabbim. They had all learned Masechta Makot. They all learned the end of the Masechta. They weren't able to tell. So I told them, wait a minute. Have you ever stopped for a moment to think? Has it happened already? What Rabbi Akiva said 2,000 years ago, did it happen? They looked at me like I'm from Mars. So I said, listen, see this? Zekenim uzekenos. The elderly are in the streets of Yerushalayim. I take them out to the street. You see those children playing over there? That's exactly what Rabbi Akiva saw. Do you know what our period is? Everybody has their problems in life. One of my little problems is I have all of our children live in Eretz Yisrael. We came with 5 teenage children. That's the easiest stage in life in which to make aliyah. It's just plain. It's like but thank God they're all married. They're all living here. They all have children. We've already moved into the stage of great grandchildren. Hodul Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdei. All of them speak English with an accent. Some of them don't even speak English at all. Some of them are Haredim. Some of them are Tzionim Datiim. They're America's people as well. But they all know Saba and Safta's Hashkafa. You understand? They watch themselves. They know when they hear something stupid in school, the first thing they do is they call Saba to straighten them all out. So every few months I have a session with all of my grandchildren and I straighten them out about Hashkafa. So after a number of years I finally found the formula, and they all sat there and they said, Sava, you're right. In the Haredi community, they get a little bit unnerved and upset about the prayer for the state of Israel, Reshit Tzmichat Gulatenu, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption. This is redemption. This is not okay. Nonsense. All right. So I said, there have been all sorts of approaches of those who called our period the period of Ikvis of the Mashiach, where you hear the footsteps of Mashiach. It can be called the period of Atchalta de Gula, but they get all hairy and upset about the idea of Gula with the state of Israel. Believe me, we are in the process of Gula. Don't kid yourself. My Bubba and my Zayda would see Klal Yisrael today and Medina Yisrael, they wouldn't know what. They would be jumping for joy. So I told my Enochloch, what I call this period? This is the period of Kiyum Divrei Hanaviim. It is the period in history where the words of the prophets are being fulfilled before our very eyes. I took them through 50, 60, 70 psukim. It's unbelievable. All the psukim that talk about kibbutz goyos, Jews coming from all over the world. You know how many psukim? Certainly Rabbi Akiva saw that. Oh, Yeshu, Zakenim, Zakenos. You love them, you love us, you sacha kim b'necho b'teha. Can I say that this year? I adopted a new minute. Understand? A new minute. Yirmiyahu in two places says, L'chein hinei yamim boim, days are coming, Noam Hashem, says God. V'lo yei omer od. Nobody's going to say anymore, Chai Hashem, we swear to God, Asher, Helot, B'nei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, we swear to the God who brought the Jewish people out of Egypt. No, we're not going to say that anymore. You know what we're going to say? Ki Yim Chai Hashem, we swear by a God, Asher, Helot, B'nei Yisrael, Eretz Safon, who brought the Jewish people up from the land of the north, Umikol Ha'arotzos, Asher, Hidikam Sham, from all of the lands where he had dispersed them. They shafted him alad Muslim, and I brought them back to their land. I said, Natati lavotam, that I gave to our fathers. Have we seen that in our days? We have Jews here from over 100 countries in the world. Never happened before in all of Jewish history. Never. Period of the second Beit HaMikdash, only Jews from Babel came back. Nobody else came back. There were Jews dispersed all over the world. They came. We see it. You walk the streets over here. You see all colors, all shades, all languages. This is awesome. The Shabbat Hashem Elokeinu Shvutcha B'Nichamecha The Shabbat Gibetzim B'Kol Ha'amim Asher Afitzcha Hashem Elokeinu L'Shem Im Yenidach HaKol B'Kzei Hashemayim Mishom Yikibetzim Mishom Yikamecha. We see all of this. The words of the Nevi'im are being fulfilled. And you know what? One point that I want to make is you have to learn to be excited about it. You may not believe me. Ask my wife. You meet my wife, you ask me, she'll tell you. I'm excited every day when I walk through Yerushalayim. How do you like that? I walk through Yerushalayim and I see the fulfillment of the words of the Nevi'im. It's become that bad or that good. The one stuck in traffic. You can get stuck, boy, you can get in the afternoon in Yerushalayim to get from one place to the next. So once I told my wife, and that was the end, from that time I never stopped hearing about it. I said, you see this traffic jam we're in? What do you think Rabbi Akiva would say about this traffic jam? He'd say, Hodol Hashem Kitov Kiryolam Chazay. What would the Ramban say? What would Dora Melech say? We see it before our very eyes. My wife told me over, she heard a shir from Rabbi Adler. We said a beautiful vort from Rav Soloveitchik. I never heard it. V'tefezeno einenu b'shuvachol etzion berachamim. Our eyes should be able to perceive it. People may be living in the time when great things are happening and they don't see it. They don't see it. You know what a skus it is to see it, to realize it, to be aware of it, to feel it, to be exhilarated by it. A whole fresh look at the world didn't want us here, and we're here, and we are strong. This is Kiddush Shem Shamayim in the whole world. And it started. It started on Hei Iyar 1948. Hei Iyar 1948. There was a very powerful article a few weeks ago in the Jerusalem Post by Sherry Mandel. Have you heard the name Sherry Mandel? Mm-hmm. Sherry Mandel had a 13-year-old son by the name of Kobe, who together with his friend were literally stoned to death by an Arab mob. Stoned to death. And 3 weeks ago in the paper, after the terrible events that took place in France, she wrote a letter to Eva Sandler, whose husband and two of her children were gunned down in France. And the thrust of the letter comes at the end. And she says, you have to know something about the Jewish people. Listen carefully to the sentence. I started crying like a baby when I read it. We are the masters of post-traumatic growth. Most people fall apart after trauma. Nations fall apart after trauma. You know what happens to Claudius Hall after trauma? We pick ourselves up and we grow. We're the masters of post-traumatic growth. What a great word from an exceptional woman. Boy, I called her that morning and I said, Sherry, that letter to Eva Sandler was brilliant. I started crying when I read it. We're the masters of post-traumatic growth. Any other people on the face of this earth after an Auschwitz would have simply disappeared from the face of the earth. Not only we didn't disappear, we became more powerful and stronger than we ever were. Do you know that this country right now is second only to the United States of America in terms of technology, medicine, science, research? Get that into your little kapalach. America is 250 years old or more. This country, 64 years old, fought 10 wars. And the world is scared of us. It's unbelievable. There's hardly an area in life today where Israel's contribution is not major. Sometimes it's just, I don't know, I happen to be, you know, you reach my age, every so often you have to go to the doctor every few years. So I went to the doctor and he says, you got to take this pill. I take the pill. And then when I'm leaving, so he says, by the way, you should know that pill was developed right here in Israel. And it's now being used in every country on the face of this earth. And it's the most effective medicine for illness X. I saw something in a book a few weeks ago that blew my mind. Where he says, don't think that the Holocaust was a tragedy for the Jewish people alone. What the world doesn't realize is the Holocaust was a far greater tragedy for the world at large. The brains that were destroyed in the Holocaust would most probably already have found the cures to who knows how many illnesses. An awesome amount of brain power that could have been of such great benefit to the world was destroyed there. The remaining brain power that we have over here is contributing daily to making life better, healthier, safer throughout the whole world. The real tragedy was for the world, but they don't realize it. So we have to understand, for a little people, smallest people on the face of this earth, in the smallest country on the face of this earth, having such awesome power, this is not us. This is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We're living in a land of miracles. We're surrounded by awesome power, and it's all divine power. How could somebody not say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut? One of the more ugly things that I said, and occasionally I say ugly things, they're not real ugly. You'll see how ugly I can get. Hallel is fascinating. There are different moods. In Hallel, there are different moods. They thank, praise be the Lord. What comes immediately after Hodu Hashem Ki Tov? Min ha-meitzar karosi ko, from the straits, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I called unto you. From the midst of my terrible tzaras, God Almighty, I need your help. In min ha-meitzar, we cry our eyes out. In Hodu we praise, and in Minah Meitzah we ache. Zayom Osa Hashem Nagila V'Nismuchodo. Joy, exhilaration, unbounded. This is the day that God made. Nagila V'Nismuchodo. Let us be full of joy and happiness on that day. What's the next sentence in Hallel? Ana Hashem Hashiya Nagel Benish, let him save us. What happened over here? What is this movement from joy to supplication, from joy to fear, terror? What's happening here? So there are two things. Number one, the persecution of the Jewish people on the face of this earth. At every moment of greatest joy, you know what? We have to watch our back. Who's planning what now? At the very moment of Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, we know they're plotting out in that world against us, and we have to be constantly on guard. But there's something else, and here is the beautiful, ugly thing that I said. Not everybody can expect to cry out to God and say, "Oh God, Hashem, not please, the baby will help me." There's a condition. You know what the condition is? The one who is able in the fullness of his neshama to say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, thank you. Zehayom osa Hashem nagila v'nismach abo. If you're able to say, this is the day that God has brought, and I thank you for it. You did it all. You made it happen. You're the one that gives us strength. You gave us a country. You gave us an Eretz Yisrael. If you say that, then he's ready to listen to you when you say, "Oh no, Hashem, Hoshi, Oh no, Rebbeinu, please help us." But if you walk around with your nose in the ground and you don't thank him for the state and the country and the government and all the rest, I don't want to hear from you. If you can't say to me, "Zehayom, Oso Hashem Nagilo V'Nismachobay," do me a favor. I'm not ready to listen to your "Ono Hashem Hoshiono." That's as ugly as I can get. I think there's a statement being made in Hallel. We owe a debt of gratitude. I've been controlling myself. I have satanic thoughts that go through my head. I found a beautiful little kuntras, a pamphlet on the whole idea of Hakaras HaTov, being grateful. Oh boy, what beautiful stories, Mamari, Chazal, Psukim, wow! And I'm controlling myself. The fellow lives in Harnof, and I want to call him up and just ask him, "Hey, do you say Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut?" I expect either he'll put the phone down on me, or he'll scream, or he'll yell, or maybe he might even be very, very honest and say, "You know, I never thought of it." That's right, you can write a whole kuntras on Hakaras HaTov. Gratitude, and not know to express gratitude. I'm going to give you one more story. This one shakes me up. I live on Rehov Agassi in Harnof. You know, if I'll explain the streets to you so you'll know exactly what's happening over here. I come out of my house, I get into my car. By the way, I think I'm the only one on the block who has a flag flying from his car. Incidentally, my flag, the flag that I have on my car right now, is the second flag, because the first one was torn down about 15 minutes after Shabbos, and they wrote in the dust on my car, "Shavarnu lachem et hadegel," "We broke your flag." But I put another one up, and we have another one in reserve. The kids who stand at the corners and are selling flags, boy, they're going to make a lot of business on me. That's okay. Perfectly all right with me. Anyway, I come out of my house, so in order to get out of Harnof, I turn right. I go to the end of the street, and I come to Katzen Ellenbogen Street. That's a mouthful, but if you live 27 years in Harnof, you can say Katzen Ellenbogen without much difficulty. So I come to the corner. At the corner, you make a right, and then you go straight. The first block is going to be Bet HaTfus Street, one big thoroughfare, and then the next one, 20 feet further, is Kanfei Nisharim, Wings of Eagles. I always said that was the best name you could give that street, because that street is so crowded, you know, with Rabbi Akiva's people over here. The only way to cross the street is on the Wings of Eagles. Can't make it by car. All right? So here it is. I come to the, I get to my car, I go to the end of the block, and here I am at the corner of Agassi and Katzenelnbaum, and I'm turning right, and there's a very, very beautiful looking Jew standing there, dressed so beautifully, big black hat, black kapota, jet black beard, none of this stuff in that beard. This was black. I couldn't help it. I didn't know what it was. Something I seemed to feel, somebody was telling me stop, because I don't like to stop to give hitches, because you know what always happens is they start off, where are you going? So I say, what the heck is it, your business? I have to know where you want to go. Don't ask me where I'm going. Alright, after we've set the parameters for our conversation, you know, then this always happens. I'm going to the center of town. I know what's going to happen. Told me that. Come on, I'm also going to the center of town. The only thing is, if you ask one more question, you'll find out that his center of town is Geula, and my center of town is King George. It's all a waste. It's all a waste. Usually, all of the conversations back and forth, you could have been there already. So I don't stop, but this time I had to stop. I couldn't let that man stand on the street. And he gets into the car. And then the negotiations begin. Now watch, listen to this. I'm not making it all up. I can make up stories when I want to, but this I didn't make up. Where do you want to go to? So he says he doesn't know whether he wants to go to Bet HaTfus or Kanfei Nisharim. Bet HaTfus would be a 3-minute walk. Kanfei Nisharim immediately afterwards, that would be 3.5-minute walk. And he's not sure. So I told him, you know, I'm not so sure where I want to go. And then I say, you know, I'm going to Kanfei Nisharim. He gives a scream, an earth-curdling scream. This isn't, I'm not making it up. I also want to go to Kanfei Nisharim. I'm shaking over there. And then the sultan got into me. I couldn't help myself anymore. And I turned to him and I said to him, and what about Medinat Yisrael? Is that Hashgacha Pratis? Or the only Hashgacha Pratis for you is that God sent me out of my house at precisely the right moment to meet you at the corner so I could take you to someplace where you could have walked already 10 times. He was honest. There was a moment of silence, and he said in Yiddish, Mistame biste gerecht. You're most probably right. That was a very big admission. In other words, that God sent me out of my house to pick him up at the precise moment to take him this fashlug in a one block. That was certainly Hashgacha Pratis. The establishment of the State of Israel, bringing millions of Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, turning over a whole world. Most probably, that's Hashgacha Pratis. Okay? And then you know what I decided? He was right. He was absolutely right. Everything that happened was Hashgacha Pratis. You know what happened over there? The Rebbein Shem made me go out of my house precisely at that moment so that I should pick him up precisely at that spot. And you know what? So that after he yells Hashgacha Pratis, the Rebbein Shem wanted me to tell him in Medinat Yisrael, he hasn't forgotten that. People can live in awesome times. I know. That he's going to get a ride to the corner is Hashgacha Pratis. That's Hashgacha Pratis. But an Am Yisrael that's strong and that's powerful rises from the ashes. not so sure. You know what? I have no such problems. I'm sure. I will say, by the way, I say it often, but I'm certainly going to say with great kavanah, Zehayom Oso Hashem Nogilo V'Nismecho Paul. I'm going to say it with great kavanah. My whole neshama. I say it every day. Truth is, I say it every day. And then I'm going to say, Ono Hashem Hoshia Na. And you know what I'm going to have in mind? Rabbeinu Shalom destroyed the Ahmad and the Jeds. These five yeshiva rabbis that I was talking to, they were also honest. I asked them this last Friday. I made up to meet them again this Friday. I mean, real fireworks this Friday. I asked them, in the last year, were you misspelled once that the Rabbeinu Shalom should save us from the Iranian threat? Once! They stood there. What's your tefillah? What's going on over here? But I'll tell you something else. When I say Birchot HaShachar in the morning, you think it's only personal? So Kefufim is just that I got out of bed, or a nation stood up on its feet? Matir Asurim, is it just me? Or hundreds of thousands of Jews that were freed from the concentration camps? No Tein LaYoev Kalach. Just me? Or is it a weak, exhausted people get renewed strength? And what about those two brochos? Ozer Yisrael b'gvura gives us strength. Oter Yisrael b'tifara. Great pride becomes the Jewish people. And then I thank him, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hagomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael. I thank him for Eretz Yisrael. I thank him for the state. I thank him for Tzva Hagana Yisrael. I thank him for all the Tova that God is pouring out to us for the last 64 years. Sayom Osa Hashem Nagila V'Nizbacha Chag Sameach.